Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our children out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. In case you hear shooting in the background, that's my children getting ready for the hunting season coming up here shortly again in Colorado. We're hoping for some elk yet. We have not yet solidified kill yet on an elk, but hoping that we'll have some meat by the end of the season, Dave.
Kevin, last week I was stopped by a police officer right here in your town of Elizabeth, and he asked me if I had seen a moose who was loose in Elizabeth.
No way.
And then he was reported in, well, I assume it's the same one, in Parker, which is 20 miles from here, yesterday. So apparently—
There's a moose on the loose.
There's a moose on the loose somewhere here in Elbert, Colorado.
You know, I know there's moose in Colorado. I didn't think they came this far south, but okay, that's all right. Well, maybe there'll be moose season sometime in the future.
Do not shoot the moose.
No. Do not shoot
the moose. It's a big yeah. fine here in Colorado.
Oh, yeah. Unless you have a permit. I think they hand out six a year or something.
Something. It's pretty rare.
Okay, friends, today we're going to talk about Halloween. This is a popular holiday, getting more and more popular all the time. Back in 2005, 52.5% of Americans planned to celebrate Halloween. This year, closer to 70% celebrating Halloween. That, according to a survey, Big Research, Big Insight organization, has done research on this. And it turns out, Dave, that there are 67% of Americans who recognize Easter as a religious holiday. Only 58% of Mosaics now recognize Easter as a religious holiday. It doesn't mean they celebrate it, but at least recognize it as a religious holiday. And so now I think you can say that there are more people who recognize Halloween than would recognize Easter in America. And that's significant. That's really significant, friends. Not to say that every Christian should or does celebrate Easter and or Halloween, but the fact of the matter is that the average American is more interested in Halloween, whatever that means, than they are interested in Easter.
Well,
or what has historically been known as Resurrection Day, celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're going to contrast the Day of the Dead, that is Halloween, what is now recognized as Halloween is the Day of the Dead, and Easter, or the Day of the Living, the Day of the Living, the Day of the Living Christ, the Resurrection, and how culture has shifted in the Western world. I mean, this is one of the dramatic incarnational evidences of a changing culture and changing worldview. People are more focused on death than they are on life by a long shot. You can look at their dress, you can look at their holidays, you can listen to their language, you can look at their facial demeanor, you can look at their clothing, you can look at the movies they enjoy watching, you can look at them and know that there are those who are committed, utterly committed to the vision of death. And then there are those who are committed to the vision of life. That is, they truly believe that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, that there is reason to be outrageously optimistic because we can have the victory over death because Christ has the victory over death. There are Christians who still believe that here and there in the Western world. But now there are more people celebrating the Day of the Dead than there are celebrating the Day of Life or the Day of the Resurrection. It's just interesting, Dave. I mean, we need to comment on culture from time to time because this is the demise of Western civilization.
And people vote with their wallets. And we know that based on commerce and economics, that Halloween is second only to Christmas in terms of dollars spent.
It's up there.
You can drive around and you'll see Halloween stores that are open year-round.
Yep.
You won't find Easter stores open year-round. You won't find Thanksgiving stores or Mother's Day stores that are open year-round, but you will find Halloween stores.
The data is right here in front of me, Dave. 2005, $3.29 billion. This year, $7 billion. That would be an increase of 300%. And, by the way, did I mention the median income of Americans has topped in 2005? So, friends, Americans are committed to the Day of the Dead. I mean, this is it. This is it. This is what they believe in. This is what they want to do. Now, it's again, not to say that every single American understands the Day of the Dead and all of the religious philosophy that underlies the celebration of the Day of the Dead. Please understand that things changed in the Western world as Christian society and Christian culture got the upper hand over a period of time. There was a move towards Christianity. That's why there are so many people of European descent that still believe in Jesus Christ, whether they be Reformed, Presbyterian, Lutheran or evangelical, whatever they are, they have a heritage. And friends, it is true that the pagan holiday of the Day of the Dead was very, very popular for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And then it was St. Hallows Eve, or All Hallows Eve, that took the place of the Day of the Dead for a period of probably about 1,000 years, from about the 7th or 8th century on to the 1900s. For about 1,000 years, maybe 1,300 years, the influence of Christianity and the celebration of those great men and women of Christian faith that went before us was an important part of the celebration for a long, long time. In other words, Dave, the old Day of the Dead, with its meaning and name, was shifted to a new meaning and a new name, that is All Hallows Eve. And the meaning was to celebrate those who had gone before us in the Christian faith, sort of the Hebrews 11 faith celebration of those who have lived the life of faith over thousands and thousands of years. So it was a celebration of life, of resurrection life, of saints who had gone before us and are indeed expected to be resurrected and be with Christ forever. That kind of thing was celebrated for about 1,000 years until the 1900s, where what is interesting here, David, interesting irony, they retained the name Halloween. So they retained the name and jetted the meaning. So what's interesting in the case of Halloween is the pagan festival was displaced by a Christian concept in name and intent. And then the intent was shifted in the early part of the 20th century away from any remembrance of any Christian, any faith that has ever existed in the history of mankind, to a celebration of the Day of the Dead. And yet they retain the name. I just think it's interesting. They haven't returned to the Day of the Dead. They don't call it the Day of the Dead. They still call it Halloween,
right,
which is a derivation from All Hallows Eve.
Right, right. So what we had was we had basically a Druid festival that thought on this day you were very close to death, and they had their rites and their ceremonies where they did stuff, fellowship with the dead, as it were. And then Pope Boniface IV comes along and says, no, what we're going to do is we're going to take over that holiday. We're going to make it a martyr's day. And then sometime later, Pope Gregory III makes it the day for all saints who've passed into glory. And then we were to celebrate all the saints, remember the saints who lived before us and went to glory. And they changed the name then from All Saints Day, and then that's All Hallows, or all things that are holy, to the Holy One's Days, to Halloween. And that was how we got Halloween in its old iteration, and then it became back to its pagan's roots. Now, we see this with the other holidays as well. We see that Christmas, which started out as a celebration of the shortest day of the year, they had the calendar a little bit wrong, but it was basically the passing from the short days to the beginning of the long days. So it was the festival, the end of the darkness is starting to be vanquished. And it was a pagan day. And we said, no, we're going to celebrate the birth of Christ, the incarnation, on that day. We changed the name. It's called Christmas. And then we gutted it of its meaning and made it commercial.
Yeah.
Easter.
But retain the name. Same things happen in Halloween. It's just interesting, in a post-Christian era. The point we're making is, friends, we've moved out of the Christian era to a post-Christian era. They are gutting the meaning of the days and bringing back the pagan concepts of the days. And yet, for some strange reason, at least for the time being, maybe for the next 10 years or 15 years, retaining the old Christian name for the holiday. But that may be gone soon as well. Dave, I think we want to touch just a moment on the pagan meaning of the day, because so many people, 67% of Americans, are celebrating Halloween, and it has nothing to do with remembering those who went before us, whether it be the Reformed folks who celebrate a Reformation Day and remember Martin Luther and John Calvin and John Knox and some of the great Reformation saints, or whether it be those that remember the martyrs, Polycarp and others that were martyred for the faith over a period of the last, 1,500 years. So you have those Christians who used to celebrate the day by remembering those courageous men and women of faith that gave their lives for Jesus Christ as martyrs. You have that, but that's not the 67% of Americans that are celebrating the day. Everybody needs to understand that, okay? The 67% of Americans, or I guess it's now 72%, my mistake, 72% of Americans that are celebrating Halloween and dressing up like demons and witches and pirates, are not celebrating Halloween as it's been celebrated for 1600 years under Christian influence. They are celebrating the Day of the Dead. So you need to understand, if you're celebrating the Day of the Dead, you need to understand why you're celebrating it. And it's a pagan holiday. It goes way back, and it's got lots and lots of parallel routes that it took in very various parts of the world. And I believe all of them will trace back to the worldwide flood. I believe all of them trace back to a period of time when God destroyed the whole world and saved eight people. And yet those eight people are not being celebrated by the posterity of the people of Japheth and Ham who left and wandered away and forgot all about the God who brought judgment upon the earth. And so they didn't want to talk about the God who brought judgment upon the earth. All they were interested in was celebrating the departed souls and spirits of those who had vanquished in the flood. And so, friends, it's a celebration of the dead. It's not a remembrance of the saints. It's not a remembrance of Noah. It's not a remembrance of the God of judgment. It's certainly not the fear of the God of judgment. It is rather a fear of the departed souls of those who died in the flood or those who died after the flood. And the same, it's the same thing was celebrated by the Aztecs. It's celebrated by the Mexicans in Dia de Muertos today. It's also celebrated in Japan in the Bone Festival and in Korea in a little festival called the Kusiok and Qingming out in China. So around the world, you have many celebrations of this. The Celts, as Dave mentioned, celebrate it as Samhain, or a celebration of a day in which the dead and the living come somewhat in contact with each other for a single day. And that's also what the Japanese recognize as the celebration of bone. The Romans also had a parentalia, a similar celebration. Friends, all of these are derivative. I believe they all come from the single root of the worldwide flood and those that came out of the worldwide flood and refused to remember why that flood came upon the earth and who brought that flood upon the earth and the meaning of the rainbow and the meaning of the salvation of Noah and his family. They forgot all about that, all about the God who saved Noah and his family. They forgot all about salvation and redemption and the resurrection to newness of life. They forgot all about the good side. Rather, they went in focused in a bitter sense upon those who passed away and would not live to an everlasting life, would not be resurrected to eternal life. So you see two different religions forming in the celebration of holidays here. Dave, I think this is the most interesting thing. You'd see those who want to celebrate the memory of saints who would be resurrected and the memory those who want to celebrate those who will not be resurrected but will live an everlasting death forever and ever. And Dave, that's pretty depressing. By the time you come to the point where you want to celebrate the Day of the Dead, as the Japanese do, as the Koreans do, the Chinese do, as the old Romans did, as the Mexicans do, as 67% or 72% of Americans want to do today, as they celebrate the Day of the Dead, they more and more reject the celebration of the resurrection from the dead, and that is really characterizing more and more of the apostate West.
Kevin, I think somewhere deep in the psychology of man, they're suppressing a truth and unrighteousness, and this manifests itself during this time. Now, the Bible says, all who hate me love death. I think there's some mockery and scorn and ridicule of this idea that we shall surely die. That is why some of the most popular characters and costumes are those of the undead, those who have died but not died. The Dracula, he is called an undead, the vampire, the zombies, those are the non-living, but not quite dead. Those who have suffered a dead, but not a resurrection.
These are outrageously popular, Dave, in the movies. And remember the Mormon who wrote the books on the vampire series. Very, very, very popular. The idea of the undead and the vampires, very, very popular because people are resisting all notions of the true resurrection of Jesus Christ. I mean, and these
are basically saying, I don't need the resurrection.
Absolutely, absolutely. Right, right. And that their desire, of course, is to become the vampire, as Bella does in the stories. And ladies and gentlemen, the fascination with the undead, fascination with witches and vampires is an apostasy. It's ultimately a heresy that takes a sharp left turn away from what the Word of God tells us concerning our problem with death, our problem with sin, our problem with judgment, our problem with Almighty God, and our absolute necessity to get things right with God and to reconcile with Him, that we might be resurrected, that we might deal with the problem of death forever. And of course, we find that through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Kevin, you shouldn't allow your children or yourself to dress up this way, because this is having fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. I don't think it could be more clear. You're communing, you're pretending to be, you're being part of this darkness of death and murder and blood sucking and brain eating and whatever other abomination that man can come up with. Don't have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. If you got to dress up as Martin Luther, dress up as a George Washington, dress up as a saint, dress up as a martyr, dress up as somebody of virtue.
Well, here's the Wall Street Journal came out this morning, and at the very top of it, two very cute kids dressed up as a witch and a pirate. Okay, now, Dave.
Both capital offenses, I think.
Both of them. And well, the pirate is an evil man. The witch is an evil person, as defined by biblical ethics.
Right.
Of course, this is what nobody wants to do these days. But my understanding is people still see piracy to be a problem, at least if you watch Captain Phillips. A new movie that came out on the Somalian pirates and what they did to this poor American captain of a ship. I think piracy is universally considered an evil thing, and yet glorified more and more glorified by our culture today, whether it be movies or what have you. Evidently, Captain Phillips still does not glorify pirates very much. And the pirate that was responsible, several of the pirates were killed, and everybody rah-rahed to the pirates being killed, and then The one guy was arrested at the end and taken into captivity, and I think he was sentenced to 30 years in prison or something. So again, pirates and witches, not good people. Historically, the reason why people dressed up as these characters was to appease the spirits of evil intent. That was the way the pagans handled it. But don't tell me that's why kids are dressing up as vampires, witches, pirates, and axe murderers today. I don't understand, Dave, exactly why people want to dress up their kids as witches and vampires and child molesters and axe murderers. I mean, why would you want to dress your kid up as an evil person like a child molester? Why would you want to dress up a child as Jerry Sandusky, for example? Unless you have some kind of fascination with evil, unless you have some kind of fascination with piracy or some kind of fascination with witches, are they minimizing evil? Are they making light of it? By this means, it seems like the post-Christian apostates of the modern age are not doing the Day of the Dead. They're not interacting with horror and evil as the pagans did. I think this is different. I think we're taking a different turn here.
This is different. I think what's happening in the modern world is that we're shaking our fist at God and saying, I will not submit to your authority. You know what? I like having power that doesn't come from you. I like witchcraft. I like having to be able to manipulate nature without having to obey your law. I like being a pirate, because in Pirates of the Caribbean, these were people who violated the laws of the seas and violated the laws of nations and were considered virtuous, at least in the Disney thing, because the nations were bad. This is shaking the fist at authority and being able to get away with it. And I think the pagans were flirting with death. I think we see that. We don't have to wait for Halloween for that. We walk around and we see these pagan symbols inked into people's skin everywhere we go.
Should you explain to your child that witchcraft is wrong? Should you explain to your child that piracy is evil? Should you explain to your child who wants to dress up as an axe murderer or a child molester that child molestation is an evil thing and that axe murder is an evil thing and we ought not to be dallying with it or glorifying the idea by dabbling in the horror of it? Well, friends, we're going to talk about horror in just a moment on the Generations Radio broadcast, because I think the real root of this is Americans are fascinated with horror and fright. It does something to them. They love it. I'll be back in just a moment. This is Kevin Swanson. We are back on the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swantz, your host, with you. And Halloween, more and more popular. People fascinated with the horror genre. That's why they're spending three times the money they spent 10 years ago on Halloween getup. And friends, I think the horror genre is taking off. More and more people watching horror. And it's not just during Halloween. Granted, Carrie was just released. Another shot at Carrie. Who wants to watch Carrie one more time? I don't even think I watched it the first time, but it's out again. They're also, Insidious 2, I think, is out. But if you walk by Redbox down at Safeway, you're going to see nothing but horror, it seems like. I mean, guys with mouths sewn shut, blood dripping down people's faces, the return of Chucky, the crying dead vanished, Spit on Your Grave 2. I think I missed one.
Fright Night, Stalker, Vanished, Nothing But Fear, Shiver,
Alive.
I got pages and pages.
It's either the axe murderer thing or it's the supernatural, paranormal, whatever. And Dave, people are just renting this stuff. Evidently, this is at least half of what Redbox offers, from what I can tell. Lots and lots of blood, and it's more and more explicit. And you know what? There's a thinner line today between horror and the violence and the drama flicks. Dave, I think there's a thinner line. I think they're more and more drawn to horror, explicit bloodshed, that kind of thing. Very, very, very common today. And I think it's becoming more and more common. People want the adrenaline rush. And this is actually what we're reading from a story here from Daily Beast. A lady called Begley writes an article a year or two ago on how incredibly popular horror and fright is for the American eye. Horror movies are most popular with younger audiences, teens, 20-somethings. More likely to look for intense experiences, says John Edward Campbell, an expert in media studies at Temple University. That fades with age, he says. But not if you look at Redbox. More and more people are pulling out these Carrie remakes and Insidious 2. Dave, I think Adrenaline Rush is important for the postmoderns who need more intense experiences where reality is more and more fading. This is why Americans go for the more intense amusement park rides that go up to 4, 5, 6 Gs. This is why I think you've got more and more body piercing going on. Because remember, in a postmodern age, people are losing touch with reality. Reality is an ambivalent thing, as is truth, as is ethics. Sure enough, reality, the third leg on the stool of a worldview, is beginning to fade into a non-reality. And as the postmodern loses contact with reality, all reality, he's got this love-hate relationship with reality to the point where, yes, he escapes it half the time, but the other half the time, he wants his heart beating. He wants somebody to pinch him. He wants some kind of a painful experience or some kind of a sensational experience such that he might have something of a contact with reality. So, Dave, I think it is, people are seeking more and more intense experiences at a time when, you know, whatever reality they're getting, whether it's looking out the window and studying God's great creation, sniffing an apple pie being baked in the oven, and everything else becomes less and less important to the mind that has been absorbed into the ozone of the internet and has little contact with reality, but lots and lots of contact with some kind of a virtual world. Dave, there is a tension right now going on in the mind of the average postmodern between whether or not he wants to deal with reality. And sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. And when he does make some contact with reality, he wants to be sure that his heart is speeding at 140 beats a minute.
Kevin, I think there's something else, and it perhaps is even more insidious. Americans in the postmodern world want to define evil for themselves. What is evil? Now, understand that they're out there fornicating and they're killing babies and they're creating tyrannies left and right. So when they look at Hannibal the Cannibal, they can say, at least I'm not that.
Yeah. Or they might appreciate the fact that he's giving them some level of terror. I mean, Stephen King, who is, of course, one of the premier terror authors, describe terror as the finest emotion. And so he says, I will try to terrorize the reader. I mean, terror is something that people love. It's an emotion that they want to express. And here, Dave, people always fear something. They either fear the true and living God who brings the flood upon the entire globe, or they'll fear the possibility of some spirit coming back from the dead and tormenting them, which of course is nothing compared to the judgment of a God who holds hellfire in his hands and can dispense it upon whoever he wants to. Friends, You want to know who to fear? Fear the true and living God. Dave, I think what happens is that people submit themselves to these horror films because within the horror film, the protagonist tends to be sovereign. That which is evil tends to be sovereign. And what you submit yourself to in fear is ultimately the thing you worship. And that is probably the scariest thing about the whole thing, is that a lot of these people will begin to worship evil because they've come to fear it.
And we see that. We see that through society. Now, they're trying to define evil as something that they fear and they love. They have a love-hate relationship of the very evil that they're trying to define. I think there's something else that works here too, Kevin, and that's escapism. We live in a world in which people fear real things, real bad people doing bad things, jihadists. We have fear daily of financial ruin. People are in debt up to their ears, and nation is falling apart. Yeah. And so if we can escape that fear for a different fear, we can substitute that fear for a little bit. We don't have to deal with the reality of our lives.
That's almost what this Daily Beast article refers. Daily Beast, I think, is Newsweek. But this lady Begley writes this towards the end of the article, very, very important. Perhaps most fundamentally, she says, horror films are popular because they speak to the basic human condition of existential fear, the knowledge that we are all doomed.
But we're not all doomed.
Albeit not as messily as Jason's or Freddy's victims. Very interesting, Dave. Very interesting. She's hopeless. She has no hope. She absolutely has no hope.
She's saying there's no resurrection.
There is no resurrection.
There is no resurrection.
And she is epistemologically self-conscious of this, friends. I mean, this woman is epistemologically self-conscious of one thing, and that is we are going to be faced with the ultimate horror, and that is to die. And let me add this, to go to hell, because I think she knows that. And yet she offers no salvation whatsoever. And she says horror films are popular because they speak to the basic human condition of existential fear, the knowledge that we are all doomed.
I think
that's it.
There's a bigger fear, Kevin, and the fear is that God is holy.
Yeah.
That should be what drives our real fear, that God is absolutely perfectly holy.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, today talking about the real issues, I know a lot of Americans want to play with this idea of horror and fright, but I'm here to tell you there is something to fear. I mean, really fear, and that is the true and living God and his judgment. Now, some of us will wind up fearing him in the right sense as one who is, yes, sovereign over all things and the God of all judgment, but he's also the God of all redemption. And so as we fear him, we also come to believe in him and believe in his redemption and his resurrection in Jesus Christ. And then we come to love him. So fear gives birth to faith, which gives birth to love. And that, my friends, is salvation. And that is hope. Our society is incredibly hopeless today. You look around you and you find that people do not believe in the resurrection. They're not in a good mood. They're not joyful. They don't have high expectations of the future. You ask them, you talk to them. My children were out on the main street in Elizabeth at the Harvest Festival where everybody was walking around in their Halloween costumes. And my children and another family or two were witnessing and talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and handing out tracts. And yeah, maybe 2-3% were somewhat interested in the gospel of the resurrection. The rest of them were happy to be dead or to be dying or to die someday. They were not interested in resurrection. They were not interested in hope. They were committed to hopelessness, a life of hopelessness. We're talking about Americans here, celebrating Halloween, but not really seeing a whole lot in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Enough to show up in a church on the first day of the week, yes, on the first day, I didn't say Saturday night, I said the first day of the week, to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, if people really believed in life, they would look like they believed in life. They would be full of hope and joy and huge expectations. Yes, even in the midst of their diseases. Yes, even in the midst of a disease unto death, they would still have a huge smile on their face, or at least a smile on their heart, knowing that they're going to be resurrected from the dead. And in the end, their lives are different because of their faith. Their lives will be different. Your life will be different if you believed that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, took care of the very, very worst possibilities of judgment for us, and then gave us that opportunity for life because of his resurrection. And we rise to live in newness of life with him and will be with him forever, living in glory because of what he did. Friends, believing in the resurrection of Jesus Christ is fundamental to the Christian faith. And more Christians do not even act like they believe in it. They don't worship on the first day of the week. They set themselves up and their own relatives for cremation because they don't believe in imminent resurrection from the dead. Why would you want to cremate a body when it's going to be used again tomorrow? This is the way Christians thought for 2,000 years until they entered the hopeless 20th century, full of apostasy, full of faithlessness, where hardly anybody believed in the resurrection from the dead, and hardly anybody had great expectation of life forevermore. And friends, that's the postmodern age we live in today. It's an age of tremendous apostasy. If you want to know how this happened, in terms of worldview and culture, I draw the map. I draw out blow by blow, step by step, generation by generation, how it happened in the mind of the Western man and woman. In my book, Apostate, available at our website, kevinswanson.com. You wanna read something intense. You wanna know how the forces of evil did something horrific in our country over the last 200 to 300 years. You read my story, Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West. That may be a book to buy this Halloween, but by the time you get to the last chapter, you're going to find that I believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and Jesus will overcome the forces of evil. Yes, even those that have overwhelmed the Western world, even in a world where there are more people celebrating the Day of the Dead than the resurrection day of Jesus Christ. And that's what's happened in our culture just over the last 100 years in the greatest apostasy in the history of the Christian world. If you want to hear something about how that happened, get my book, Apostate, available at our website, kevinswanson.com. We're starting a sale. Buy one, get one free. You can inquire on that as well. If you buy one starting on Monday, friends, you will get another one free. We will put another book, another copy of Apostate in with that sale. So just order your copy of the book Apostate and get a copy for a friend or a family member today at our website, kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.